Then you're not real?
Of course I'm real. Feel me. Touch me. Hold me.
Good news, everybody.
You are listening to the Forgotten News Podcast.
But before we begin, here are some other podcasts that we think you should try.
Hi, I'm Bridget.
And I'm Lydia.
And we are the Ghostly Gals. We are just a couple of best friends who host a spooky and funny podcast from Ohio. And we just want to share our love of the paranormal with the rest of the world.
If you like to sit around a campfire with friends and tell ghost stories all night long, then this podcast is definitely for you. You'll feel like one of our friends after just a few episodes, which is exactly what we want.
We pick different ghostly topics every week and get together to tell each other our spooky stories. Even if we didn't have this podcast, I think we would still end up talking about this stuff every week anyway.
Some of the topics we've covered so far include black-eyed kids, sleep paralysis, celebrity ghost stories, and real-life ghostly experiences that were made into movies.
You can find us on iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, and Radio Public, which are all free.
We also have Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, so be sure to check those out along with our website at www.theghostlygalspodcast.com.
So pop a squat, grab some snacks, and get to your comfy spot, wherever you may be, and come join us in listening to all of our ghost stories. XOXO,
the Ghostly Gals.
Hey, Sasha.
Hey, Courtney.
Where can you get hot takes about ghosts, cryptids, farts, and cats?
I don't know. Where?
On our podcast, Spoop Hour.
Oh, that's right.
Each week, we talk about the things that spook us out and we laugh through our fear.
You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Spoop Hour, and you can listen to our podcast on iTunes, Podbean, or really anywhere else that you get your podcasts. Feel free to also drop us a line at spoophour@gmail.com.
We want to hear about your ghosts.
Thanks.
Hi, guys. My name's Leanie.
And my name's Bunny.
We like chatty, occasionally funny British ladies talking about horror, true crime, and all things spooky. Could I suggest our podcast?
We round up every episode with a creepy and crappy pasta story, so you shouldn't be too bummed out by the time you finish.
You can find us on all the very best podcasting apps, hopefully.
And you can catch us on Twitter. We're at TalkSpooky. Hope to catch you soon. Love ya.
And I think that you're all right.
Welcome to the Forgotten News Podcast. This is your window to hear true stories from long ago. Stories that once made headlines. Stories that people thought would be unforgettable. Yet those stories were soon lost in the sands of time or were buried deep in the dustbin of history. In this podcast, we shake off the sand and dust from those stories and share them here with you, as fresh as the day they were first told.
And now, here's your host.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Halloween episode of the Forgotten News Podcast. My name is Kit Karen.
My name is Jim. And we are your hosts.
Hey, Jim, before we get started, I have a warning for our listeners.
You mean about the featured story?
But shouldn't that be later in the episode?
No, it's not about the story. I will give a warning about the story before we tell the story. The same as usual. The warning I want to give is a different kind of warning.
Do you mean a warning about this episode?
Sort of. But not exactly. You know what, Jim? I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Here it is. A recent study by the National Psychiatric Institute in Boston, Massachusetts, concluded that no activity can account for the phenomenon known as nightmares. Whereas many dreams come from unconscious desires, most nightmares seem to come from an outside source independent of the individual. In fact, when subjects are asked to recall nightmares, they are almost always found in the same memory section of the brain as actual physical memories, not the section where normal dreams are replayed. So, in other words, those aliens and other strange creatures that you see at night in your dreams, they're real.
Kit? Thanks for that warning.
No problem, Jim.
I'm sure that our listeners will appreciate you letting them know that.
Thank you.
I just hope this episode doesn't scare our listeners too much.
Hey, Jim. This is episode 20. Yay! That's kind of a big deal. A milestone. Are you excited about this episode?
Absolutely.
Me too, but I'm a little scared, especially since our featured story is pretty frightening. And it doesn't even have any goblins or ghouls or vampires.
Oh well.
Hey Jim, speaking of Halloween, guess what? I'm going to a costume party tonight.
Hey, that sounds like fun. What's your costume?
Well, I had originally decided to go as the Invisible Woman, so I went to the store and bought the biggest eraser that I could find. But would you believe, no matter how much I rubbed, it didn't make me invisible. And I rubbed really hard.
I'm very sorry to hear that.
So, I'm going as Supergirl instead.
Hey, awesome! Supergirl is one of my most favorite superheroes, and she is definitely my favorite female superhero. But, Kit, you just now reminded me of something. Did you know there have been studies where people have been asked what superpower they would like to have if they could be magically given a superpower?
Personally, I wish I could have super speed.
That does not surprise me at all. Super speed is the power that most women say they want, but most men say they want the power of invisibility.
That's because most men are sneaky. But we are getting way off topic. Hey, listeners, guess what? By coincidence, the featured story on this episode is about a man who became invisible. Well, sort of.
Well, it definitely wasn't as a superpower. That's for sure. Really, it was kind of the opposite of a superpower.
On this episode, we will be featuring the story of the mysterious vanishing of David Lang. Please take note of what I didn't say. Specifically, I didn't say the disappearance of David Lang. This is not exactly a missing person case. And because this is a very mysterious story, I will now give a short warning. It will be very short because, I'm not really sure what to say about this story. There isn't any violence or crime. This isn't a kidnapping or abduction. There are absolutely no ghosts, monsters, or space aliens. All that there is in this story is weirdness. But even so, if you think that this story might cause you to have a negative emotional reaction, then maybe you should just skip this episode. In addition, for these same reasons, we do not recommend allowing children to listen to this story, since it could be upsetting or even frightening to young ears. Parental discretion is strongly advised.
Also, just in case anyone is wondering, we will have a police blotter and court news segment immediately following our featured story. We will give a separate warning for that.
And now, with all of that having been said, on with the show. Our story begins on the afternoon of Saturday, September 25th, 1880, on a small farm owned by David Lang and his wife near Gallatin, Tennessee.
David Lang was an ordinary middle-aged farmer. He had two children, Sarah, who was 11, and George, who had just turned 8. Mr. and Mrs. Lang had just stepped out of their vine-covered brick house and watched the children playing with a wooden wagon. A few minutes later, David remembered some repairs that he had needed to finish, and so he began to walk across the pasture, which had burned brown thanks to a dry spell. Then, at about this time, Lang's brother-in-law and their mutual friend, Judge August Peck, came driving up the lane in a buggy. The judge saw Lang walking in the field, and he was going to shout to him when it happened. Lang vanished from the earth. 1 minute, he was standing in an open field, in which there was short grass, but no trees, stones, or fences. The next minute, he was simply gone. Mrs. Lang and the two men went to the spot where David had disappeared, thinking that he might have fallen into a hole or a crack in the earth that had somehow been created by the recent heat wave. But they found no such crevice or any other opening anywhere in the field near where he had been walking. They searched for nearly an hour until Mrs. Lang became hysterical and was led back to her house shrieking with tears pouring down her face. Someone rang a huge alarm bell, which quickly brought almost all of the nearby neighbors to help. And soon there were dozens of people searching the field and the adjacent land. Yet despite searching until all sunlight was gone, no trace of David Lang was found. 2 days later, a surveyor and a geologist were brought out to examine the field. They found limestone bedrock a few feet underground, but no fracture into which a person could fall. The search continued for a month. In addition, hundreds of curious men and women simply came and gawked. Meanwhile, during this time, Mrs. Lang made multiple attempts to hire a couple of men to help with the harvesting of crops, but she was turned down by every man she asked. They all feared that the terrible thing that had happened to her husband might happen to them. A year later, the grass where Mr. Lang had disappeared had grown high and thick, in a circle 20 feet or 6 meters in diameter. None of the farm animals would go there. It had seemed free of insects. It was as though an ominous presence was located at that piece of ground. One day, in late September 1881, Sarah and George approached the green circle of high grass. Sarah called out,
"Father, are you anywhere around?"
There was no answer, so she loudly repeated the question 4 times. They were about to walk away when they heard a faint cry for help. It was a cry that seemed to be coming from nowhere. The children quickly ran and got their mother, who returned with them to the spot, and she called out, as they had done. Her husband answered. For several days, the family returned. But each day, when they called, the voice which answered became fainter, until finally, there was no response at all.
And listeners, that is everything that we know in regard to the mysterious vanishing of David Lang. Except, here are a few items for you to consider. This is a story that apparently circulated by word of mouth for decades, beginning in the 1880s until the summer of 1953. In that year, it was brought to widespread public attention by an article in the July issue of Fate magazine, which not only told the story, but also featured an interview with the daughter of David Lang. However, some people who have investigated the story believe that the interview is fiction, and that either the editors were tricked, or that the whole thing was simply a hoax that may have been perpetrated by the magazine itself. Now, in this context, it is sometimes mentioned by supporters of the hoax theory, the fact that the Lang family is not listed in any U.S. census of the population of Tennessee during the time period of 1870 through the early 1900s. However, the truth is, in regard to the census, that the absence of evidence is not necessarily evidence of absence.
For example, we have covered several stories on this podcast in which we were unable to find certain individuals or certain families in any U.S. census records throughout their entire lives, notwithstanding that there is no question whatsoever that those persons actually existed.
There are also some researchers who disbelieve the story of David Lang because they think it is just a disguised version of a short story written by Ambrose Bierce, who was a very popular writer of supernatural fiction in the 19th century. The story by Bierce is called, quote, "The Difficulty of Crossing a Field," unquote. It is contained within a collection of his short stories, which was published in 1893 under the title, Can Such Things Be? The main similarity is that the story by Bierce describes an incident in which a plantation owner suddenly vanishes in front of several witnesses. But the Bierce story takes place in 1854 in Alabama, not 1880 or 1881 in Tennessee.
And for all we know, Ambrose Bierce may have randomly heard the story of David Lang from someone, somewhere, during one of his many travels as a writer and public speaker, and simply remade it into the story that he published. I mean, please keep in mind that the year 1893, when Bierce published his story, it was barely a decade after the Lang incident. So it would have been fresh in the minds of many people, if indeed it is a true story.
By the way, here's a curious side note. In 1913, Ambrose Bierce himself disappeared without a trace. It was rumored at the time that Bierce had traveled to Mexico as a freelance reporter covering the revolutionary uprising of the army led by Pancho Villa, and that he may have been killed during the fighting. However, there was never any documentation that Bierce was ever actually in Mexico at the time of his disappearance.
But getting back to the story of David Lang, according to Herschel Payne, a man who was a research librarian in Gallatin, Tennessee in the 1970s, the true source of the Lang story may have been Joseph Mulhattan, a man who wrote tall tales in the 1880s and 1890s that were mostly published in newspapers in Pennsylvania under the pseudonym Orange Blossom. It is unclear whether Mohatton was actually his real name or not. It may have been McHatton or Mulholland, or it might have been something else, depending on which researcher you believe. Unfortunately, different articles say different things.
Herschel Payne believed that once the story had been invented and told by Mulhattan, it was then retold by others and somehow eventually became distorted into a real event. But we have been unable to find any independent verification of the claim by Payne that a tall tale by Mr. Mulhattan was the original source for the story of the vanishing of David Lang. In fact, there is no evidence that he ever told the story or wrote about the story, let alone invented the story.
So, we're back where we started. Basically, nowhere.
Sorry about that. Oh, well. I guess all of you will just have to decide for yourselves whether the vanishing of David Lang really happened. Or not. And now, before we move on, we would like to thank our guest narrator,
Dennis Sarah of Twitter at Dennis Sarah,
for telling the story of the vanishing of David Lang. Dennis was the host of the former online show called The Evil Podcast, which many listeners may fondly remember. We would also like to thank
Josina Crofra, freelancing voiceover artist,
for being the voice of Sarah, the daughter of David Lang, in the story.
We truly appreciate everyone who contributes their voice to our episodes. It is so much better than just having me or Kit simply droning on and on about any given topic. So, again, thank you.
And now, listeners, we will present the latest edition of our new ongoing feature, Police Blotter and Court News, in which we bring you stories of small-time crooks and a lot of other random folks who, for one reason or another, were dragged into the machinery of the justice system a century or more ago. And this particular segment will be narrated for you exactly as it was published in the Cleveland Plain Dealer on June 3rd, 1858.
But when you hear any amount of money mentioned, please keep in mind that $1 in 1858 is the equivalent of $30 in present-day money, 2018.
However, before we begin this segment, we will give a short warning to listeners. Please be aware that in the Police Blotter and Court News segment on this episode, there will be brief mentions of violence, drunkenness, larceny, prostitution, and the death of a sex worker. If you think that any of those topics might trigger a negative emotional response, then you probably should skip ahead to approximately 7 or 8 minutes from now. Our guest narrator for the Police Blotter and Court News segment on this episode is Jarwin Shustra, a news reporter at WOC Radio and also the producer of the Queens of the Damned podcast.
Police Blotter and Court News.
Municipal Court, Cleveland, Ohio, June 3rd, 1858.
Order of the court. Order in the court.
Lewis Boone, charged with assault and battery, was fined $5 and court costs. William Glass and James Bennett, both charged with public disturbance, were each fined $35 and court costs. James Kane, charged with intoxication, was fined $3 and court costs. John Schultz was convicted of assault and battery. He was fined $10 and court costs. James Abbott was fined $20 and was sentenced to the dungeon of the city jail for petty larceny. Mary Condon was convicted of operating a house of prostitution. She was fined $20 and court costs. Mary Ann Mack, charged with assault and battery, was sentenced to the dungeon for 10 days and fined $10 and court costs. Update, December 27, 1858. Mary Condon, a drunken prostitute, 35 years of age, was found dead in her bed in a shanty on Detroit Avenue yesterday morning. The coroner's jury rendered a verdict to the effect that she died from too much whiskey. It was the end of a miserable life. She was a notorious character and had repeatedly haunted the criminal courts, like a ghostly and frightful specter.
The court is adjourned.
And that brings us to the end of the Police Blotter and Court News column of June 3rd, 1858. We hope you enjoyed having this brief opportunity to spend some time on the old, narrow alleys and cobblestone side streets of yesteryear. And, in this case, inside a dirty shanty where a sad, tired woman, Mary Condon, only 35 years of age, evidently drank herself to death, all alone.
I looked her up in the 1850 census. She was an immigrant from Ireland, and at that time, in 1850, she was living in a house with 10 other people, apparently all family, as far as I can tell.
Something really terrible must have happened, that less than a decade later, she was not only an alcoholic, but she was making her living by operating a brothel. And then she died, in squalid conditions, and entirely alone, on the day after Christmas. We obviously don't know exactly what happened to Mary Condon for her life to have taken such a tragic turn, but as far as that reporter who wrote mean things about her after she passed away, I hope she haunted him.
You know, most people are taught from childhood not to speak ill of the dead. I guess that reporter forgot that lesson.
I think that is pretty much everything for this episode, in regard to the podcast.
Yeah, I think so too.
Now, we will again say thank you to everyone who contributed their voice on this episode. Next, we would truly appreciate it if you, our listeners, would please take a moment of your time and go to iTunes, also known as Apple Podcasts, and then rate, review, and subscribe to the Forgotten News podcast. We prefer a 5-star review, by the way. Plus, getting nice reviews definitely helps motivate us to keep producing new episodes. So, thanks in advance for your ratings and reviews. And as always, we would love to hear your comments, opinions, and anything else you might like to say in regard to this episode or any past episode.
Give us your feedback. Give us your suggestions, thoughts.
So, with that in mind, our email address is forgottennewspodcast@gmail.com. Be sure to type that as all one word. There are no hyphens, dashes, or underscores. You can also find the Forgotten News Podcast on Facebook and Twitter. Just type Forgotten News Podcast as 3 words into the search box and you can find us. But please take note, the Twitter handle for our podcast is @newsforgotten and not Forgotten News. Jim tweets and answers tweets from there. By the way, for some reason, we don't know why, but Twitter seems to be the number one place where we hear from listeners and fans of our show. And if any of our listeners would like to follow or contact me on Twitter, my handle is @KitKaren, spelled K-I-T-C-A-R-E-N, as if it were all one big word. I'd love to hear from you.
I'll reply, I promise.
So anyway, please feel free to use any of those methods to interact with us.
We really sincerely like hearing from our listeners. Oh, and speaking of me, be sure to check out my new side gig podcast, Whispered True Stories. You can find it on iTunes and most apps for listening to podcasts. But if it's not on your favorite app, let me know, and I'll do whatever I can to get it on there.
Whispered True Stories.
If you're a fan of the Forgotten News podcast and you want to find some sweet merch with our logo, please check out tpublic.com. Then type the word forgotten into the search bar, then scroll down. That's right. Only type the word forgotten. We actually learned this from listeners. We don't know why, but for some reason, typing that one word actually works better than anything else when you use a search bar. But you will need to scroll down on the page once you make that search. So, anyway, check it out. There are some really cool t-shirts, mugs, stickers, bags, and other things. We get a few bucks from every sale, so if you want us to know that you like the Forgotten News podcast, then go buy something, okay? Thank you in advance. And speaking of thanks, we will, as usual, thank Kevin McLeod of Incompetech.com for the music used on this episode. We've included specific credits for him and his music in the show notes, which you can find on our website, www.forgottennewspodcast.podbean.com. Or just go to Google and simply type Forgotten News Podcast Podbean. It'll take you right there. We do encourage you to take a look at the show notes for this episode or any other episode that might be of interest to you. It takes a long time to put them together, and they're usually very informative. So check them out. Well, I think that's pretty much everything for this episode of the podcast.
And with that being said,
goodbye, everyone.
Happy Halloween, everybody.
Happy Halloween.
Thanks for listening.
And remember... Boo!
Thank you for listening to the Forgotten News Podcast. You will now be returned back to the present day, and we hope that we can count on you to join us for our next episode.
Find me and help me. It's cold. So cold, I'm naked and I can't see anything. I don't know if my eyes are broken or if there's no light, but the floor is hard, wet, slimy stone that smells like something rotting. It's suffocating, almost hard to breathe. Please help me. I can't feel my fingers or toes anymore. And my hands and feet are almost numb too. I tried walking, but it is so slippery. I kept falling and my legs don't work right. Please help me.
I don't want to die here. I don't know what happened, but I'm a good person. Please, why aren't you helping me? I'm gonna die here if you don't find me and help me. Oh no. It was bit before. Some bugs or tiny wet things ran up to me and bit me all over. Sharp, stinging bites that left lumps on my skin like mosquito bites. But bigger, we stopped oozing from them. Well, that was hours ago, when I could use my hands. Now, I don't know, but the bites hurt real bad. Now it's getting worse. They feel like they are moving. Help me. Oh God. I need to get them out. These eggs. No, I can't reach to bite it out. I can still use my mouth. Slamming against the floor only makes them squirm more. I need to pop them. Kill them, but I can't move. It's so cold. Please, get them out. Help me. Please help me. Oh, I don't know what is happening. Up. Please help me. Stop listening to me die. Why are you just listening? Help me. I can feel myself moving. Inside, I shouldn't feel those parts moving.